sun shines right above the clouds. Amen. Thank God for his blessings upon us. Sometimes I don't like what I do. You think, what in the world? I studied most of the day for a particular message, and about 15 minutes to 7 is like, nope, can't do that one. Got to do something different. It's like, okay, so here I am. I'm at your mercy tonight. I'm at your mercy. And I only want to do what God wants me to do, no matter what I preach or how it comes out. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. Y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right. People online are going, what in the world? Hey, that must be a new rule, so whatever. There you go. Let me see here who's got their phones out. 15 over there, another 15, that's 30 more minutes. And thank you, Keith. I appreciate you and Jody setting me up. I appreciate that. And Joanne. I got good helpers. 1 Corinthians is where I want to go to this afternoon. And I know it's sinus weather and all that other kind of weather. But I want to talk this evening on something that I feel very passionate about, and something that I feel like that air marks the Christian. And to be honest, I didn't really think I was going to do this evening. And I really thought that I might do it Sunday earlier, but I want to jump into it right here on a Wednesday night. Maybe it'll carry over to Sunday. This week is this thing called Valentine's Day, so it's definitely the atmospheric pressure says love this week. So it's a time and a season that we share love, but we're supposed to show love every day. When Paul begins to write this, evidently there was a great abuse of the gifts that was in the church during that time. And so Paul actually addressed this thing in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to just turn there and read 1 Corinthians 13. It's only got 13 verses, but I felt needed tonight to just read this. And because I believe it puts a balance in our lives. And good to see Pastor Dodd. My eye just caught you, brother. Good to see you. And this is a lifestyle that is to be gleaned, developed, a lifestyle that is to be modeled and patterned after Jesus himself. I've often been known to say here at the church in days gone by that nobody really cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And we all know that we're living in a hurting world. We know that. I guess I get kind of frustrated at times because I want to try to help, but yet it seems like I don't know how to help sometimes. I really don't know how to get people to understand the gospel, understand who Jesus is, turn their life around, let God help them be saved, be born again, change their life, and get on a better path forward. But I think one of the things we can look at in these verses of Scripture tonight was not only did Paul write this, and I'll get into this in a minute, Jesus said it as well. So if I was going to pick a title for the evening, it's actually in this reading that I want to read to you, but it would be Love Never Fails. And all of us could probably say, yes, now we've heard that, let's go home. But there's a difference between faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And James says, faith without works is dead. We're not saved by our works, but yet we work because we're saved. And I think that when we are changed from the inside out, as Shelby sang this song, that amazing God has done this to us. And let me just read this, and then I'm going to step off into some stuff and talk about a few things this evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, Paul was saying in so many words that you're just a big gong or a noise, if you will. But as we start into this, Paul was writing for us to understand that what he's writing is about love. And love is really, according to commentary, what makes the gifts work. It is the fuel, if you will, that fuels what Paul was saying. And Paul broke this out in the very first thing. He says, though I speak with tongues of men, tongues of angels, and I have not love, he says this, I am nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about as I walk into this is that love is meant to be displayed. It's one thing to say you love somebody, but it is another thing for you to put love on display. Now let me walk into this. So in this we can see, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love or charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as I am also known. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of all these is charity. Stretch your hands and pray for me this evening. Father, we do come before you tonight. Lord, we come before you to honor you. We honor your presence in this house. We honor your anointing in this house. And Father, we just come this evening, Lord God, to ask you to anoint us this evening. Father, it's not anything that I can do or add to what's already been done. So, Father, I just pray, God, this evening that you would take this message this evening that I believe you've laid up on my heart. Father, I pray, God, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but, God, that we would put it in practice, that we would make it a practicum in our life every day. That, Lord, that we guide our lives and we listen to the Holy Spirit as you guide our lives based on the principles of God's word. Father, we honor you, we love you, and we praise you. Let us, oh God, this evening learn from what you are saying to us through this word. And everything, we're going to be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I believe that when we look at this scripture, all of us, no doubt in my mind, we have actually heard all of this before. In all reality, I don't know of anything else that I could tell you this evening that you've probably not already heard preachers preach in days gone by. But I do believe that there are several things that the Lord laid up on my heart, and I'm going to just walk through some of these, and I hope by the end of the day that it's going to help us as we enjoy the rest of this week and move forward into this special season of love. But yet, first of all, when we think about love this evening, one of the things I begin to think about the Lord is God's unconditional love. In God's unconditional love, this is the first thing. It's a V word. So with V, love values others. When we think about that in the Scripture, all the way throughout the Bible, we understand that the love of Jesus Christ, Jesus always modeled this. Jesus always put others before himself. And you can read that throughout the Scripture. We read this in the Scripture about how that God's love is an unconditional love. How do we know that? Because the Bible said that God loved first. We know that according to the Bible. We know that in John 3:16. We could all quote that verse here this evening, and we know it very well. But it says, "For God so loved the world." Now, when we think about this word love, I've said this at the church several times, and I want to say it again tonight. Because when you look that Greek word up, love, it is really defined in the Strong's Concordance is God not giving you and I what we wanted, but it's the unconditional love of God that God did for us through grace, what we could not do for ourselves. So God gave us what he knew we needed. And we can compare that to our children today. We can compare that to raising children and raising teenagers and raising smaller children. You don't give a child what it wants, but you give a child what you know that it really needs. I wish I'd have learned that a long, long time ago. But that is defined as the love of God. God doing on your behalf and our behalf, my behalf, what he knew that we needed. And we see that in the salvation story. I'm not going to take the time to go through that, but we can see that love values others. So we can see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is, first of all, not only it values others, but God's love is an unmerited love, and God's love is an unconditional love. And when I thought about that right there, I thought about how many times in our lives do we love someone because of what they may or may not be able to do for us. So we look at that and we see that love is built on some type of merit system. But yet, isn't it amazing tonight just to know that God's love is not built on a merit system? It's yet there in the book of Romans chapter 5, I think it's verse number 8, that defines this great love of Jesus, because it defines it by saying that God committed his love towards us. That God did this. And I know that probably everybody in this room is Christians tonight, and you've experienced the love of God. But think about the unconditional love of God. That God commendeth his love towards us. In other words, when I preached this before and I looked at it before, it's like God has got a bow and arrow. And it's like God's got an arrow, and your heart is the bullseye. And God has directly pointed, I'll use Brother Tim as an example, God has directly pointed his love towards Brother Tim to directly with the intent that he commended his love towards us. That he commended his love towards us. That even while we were yet sinners, I was studying over the weekend about another whole topic that I don't want to get into. It's the preventative love of the grace of God. And in this study that I'm working on, I'm not ready to preach it by no means, is that in this understanding of this preventative love is where that God begins to reveal himself to sinners even before that sinner even knows that he needs to be saved. And that God is operative in his grace in the life of a sinner even when we don't even know that we need to be saved. Now, you can go look that up, and it's a big, big study, and you can read a lot about it. And I thought about that. I thought about that in my own life, the unconditional love of God, and my own story. And everybody's probably got a testimony story. And Brother Tim, the long, short version of this story is that when I was about 13 years old, My mother was in the hospital in back traction. She'd slipped the disc in her back, and at that time they'd put you in cables and stretch you out all over the bed and try to get your backbone lined back up. And she was in the hospital for 23 days. And my granny, we went to church with our granny over that 23 days, and I could see where that the grace of God was already working in my life, and Shelby, the love of God was already working in my life. At 13 years old was the first time in my life that I can recall ever feeling God touch me. I didn't get saved then because I did not know what saved was. But it had such an impact on my life. I remember carrying a little black Bible in my book bag to school, showing it to Mr. Leverett, our math teacher. And from that time, moving forward from 13 till I got saved in the latter part of my 18th year, that moment in time, always, I was penetrated in my heart, Brother Dodd, enough to know that there was something to the love of God. I did not know what it was. I could not figure it out. But yet from 13 to 18, I know that I'd done things I should not have done. But Brother Bobby, the Lord wouldn't let me go but so far. It was God working then. It was conviction working then. And even in that, I would always say that when I get to be a big boy, I'm going to go to church. And one day it dawned on me. I had my driver's license. I was doing my own thing pretty much. I was going to school. I was working. And Brother Tim, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart, even though I did not know that's what was happening at the time, and said, "You're a big boy now. Go to church." And the morning that I got saved, there was a lady that came to me with the unconditional love of God and said to me, sitting about where Janet's sitting at the Clyde Church of God, walked back there, took me by the hand, and said, "Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray?" And my friend, at that time, it was the first time that I recall ever feeling something called love from the love of God in my heart. So it was God searching me out. It was God looking for me. It was God that had a plan for my life. It was the unconditional love of God. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And these 35 or 6 or 8 years later, I still don't earn it. I still don't deserve it. But it is what God has done on behalf of man. And again, when you look back through Corinthians, and I don't know how much of that I'll be able to get back into because of time, but you can look back through Corinthians, and Paul again was saying that it is something that we do as Christians to impact the life of those around us. And I guarantee you that you would agree with me, the one thing that our world needs today is for somebody to show somebody the love of God. Can you say amen? And God did that when God died through Jesus Christ, His Son, on the cross. And this scripture here says it very plain. But God commendeth His love towards us. He zeroed in on humanity. He sent His Son to humanity while we were yet sinners. And in this, I thought about this, Brother Hawks. None of us deserve to be saved. And it says that while we were still in our trespasses, while we were still in our sins, the unconditional love of God, Jesus died for us. We ought to celebrate that tonight. We ought to celebrate that because of God did for us on our behalf what we could not do for ourselves. Again, let me say this, that God loves sinners, but God don't love the sin. Amen? We quit the sin when we become a child of God. That's another message for another time. But yet we see not only in this, we can see the vulnerability of loving others. And I wanted to just mention this because Jesus loved the world and He became vulnerable to the world, if you will. I was reading this earlier today in the devotion. I'm reading a one-year Bible right now, so it's got me right up to Caiaphas. It's got me up to Pilate. It's got me right there at Herod. It's got me right up to the people. It's got me right up to Barabbas. And y'all know where I'm at reading along through there. And all this time, the people, they were asking Jesus a lot of questions about who He was. And And I won't get into the Easter story right here tonight, but Jesus told his disciples, even Peter and those that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, sleep on now. But he told them, the other disciples and those that was listening to him, that his time had come. That he was going to be turned over to sinners and that he would die. It says that in the Testament, in the New Testament. But yet we see that even Jesus, in all of his love, Jesus put himself out there for you and I. Vulnerability, I guess, is how you pronounce that word. A lot of times we think about this. We want to live in a shell. We want to live in a perfect world where you and I were never vulnerable to nobody. We're never taking the risk of getting hurt by nobody. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I learned a long time ago, if you're going to be a Christian, that you are prone to be hurt by other people. Jesus even said that. Now, let me walk into this for just a moment, because we see that Jesus even says this in the Scripture. Not only is his love an unconditional love, but yet we got to understand that it's an unchanging love. It's an unchanging love. And we know it's an unmerited love, but it's also an unchanging love. Now, before I get into this, I want you to leave 1 Corinthians there, and if we get back to it, we will, but if not, I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And I know that I've read these scriptures before. I'm aware of that. But I wanted to do the second part of this, is not only is it an unconditional love, but yet we can see that God's love is an unchanging love. Aren't you glad today that God don't love you based upon expressions or feelings of what's going on in his life in any particular day? And you say, well, why in the world did you say it that way, Pastor? I said it that way simply because oftentimes we love people based upon environment and circumstances and situations around us, whether that person is doing what is pleasing in our sight or what we approve or something of that nature. But really, true love of God is an unchanging love. I had a buddy one time. His name was Jerry, and he was my best friend in our neighborhood. Oh, Jerry and I. Jerry wanted to sell produce when he got older, and I don't think any of his family ever listened to me online or nothing, but Jerry and his mom was the first person I ever told after I accepted the call to preach. His mother, Miss Cunningham, she raised a bunch of boys in that neighborhood. But Jerry was a type of guy. Me and him was two peas in a pod. We stayed together all the time, and we were about the same age playing and growing up and all the stuff that we'd done. But Jerry had one problem, and I noticed this when he was a kid. He had one problem, and Jerry's problem was if he got mad at one person, he was mad at the world. Hello? You might not have done a thing to him, but yet he was mad at his mom, or he's mad at his brother, or mad at whatever, but he would take out his anger on everybody else around them. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That is one of the things that I know that I've had to guard myself against. Are we okay tonight on a Wednesday night? Is to see in our society today, I've even told people, I've even said to people about saying things to people. And I'd tell folks, I'd say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be bleeding on you. I shouldn't be unloading on you. I shouldn't be doing that to you. But here's the thing. We've got to really safeguard ourselves against getting upset at the job, or getting upset at Walmart, or that's just an example, getting upset at the auto parts store and then going home. And I have to be really careful, because that little sweet lady on the back there in front of Lynn, the other one right there, I have to be real careful. And I'm taking up for Tim too. Tim has to be real careful, because we will bleed and we will vent our anger or any emotional feelings towards the people we love the most. And the reason we do that is because we know we can do it and get by with it. I didn't get a single amen. Maybe it's just me and you, Sherry. Maybe it's just, I mean, I have to be real careful in that area. I have, and Sherman, Lori, I've had to discipline myself, and I said that to say this, because true love The way I've understood true love through a relationship with my wife over the last 41 years, we've been married for 41 years, going on 42, is my love for her is consistent. It's not subject to the weather. It's not subject to the environment or what I'm going through on any particular time. Now, you say, well, preacher, why did you say that? Because I said that because I've experienced the love of God. Not only is the love of God an unconditional love, but God's love is an unchanging love. Do you know that God loves you on a blue Monday, just like He does on a Hallelujah Sunday? Hello, somebody. That every day of the week, that God's love is an ever-present love. It is an unchanging love. And I look at it like this. It's an ever-overshadowing love. And I looked at this in Scripture, and I thought about it as well in that 15-minute window that I had prior to coming out here. Because I was going to do Psalm chapter 116. I've studied it all day. And then the Lord said, nope, that's not what you're doing. You're doing this. I said, okay. Maybe I can get it together real quick and do that. Okay. But in the Scripture, I already knew pretty well where I was going. If you go into 1 John chapter number 4, and if we are experiencing the love of God, here it is. It is in the unchanging nature and the unchanging character of God to love. Now, let me read this, and you look at that in the Scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, I'm not going to get into that right now. I'll get back into that in a minute. But He said, let us love one another. Now, watch this. He says, for love is of God. You wonder why some people are as hateful as they are? I just answered your question. Because they don't have love. They don't have God. Because fruit of the Spirit, if you go into Galatians 5, I don't have time to do that one. I'll just mention it, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The first fruit, the first manifestation of the Spirit is love. Amen? Boy, this is all right on a Wednesday night, ain't it? I mean, really, would you think about this with me for a minute? What if Christianity around the world, now again, I'm not making no excuse for sin, but what if Christianity around the world in every church that we go to, what if the church would take this serious and actually start operating the way the Bible says that we're to operate? You would get rid of a lot of church fights. You'd get rid of a whole lot of disagreements in business meetings and board meetings, wouldn't you? Now, we don't have that problem here. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise God. Glory to God. But I'm just saying, in Christianity alone, and it would be so much better, because I thought about this earlier today. God must have knew I was going to go and do this route. It's because I thought about this today when I was studying, that we, let me say we, not you, but we are the only Bible that some people will ever read. And all some people, the only thing they've ever seen out of Christianity and Christians is somebody that's been mean to them. I'm telling you right now, I have to work on this with family, with children, with people in the street. We have an opinion about everything, but let us operate in the spirit of love. Are we okay? Beloved, let us love one another. Here it is. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then He says in verse number 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. I didn't write that. It's plain, it's simple, it's in the book. And He says it again in verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Here is the definitive nature and character of God defined in verse number 8. God, for God is love. Let me go back to that again. God, the unconditional love of God, the unchanging love of God, God doing on behalf of man what man does not have the ability to do for himself, the grace of God, but God doing in us and for us what He knows that we need and not what we think we want. So in this, God is love. God put His love on display. God knew that you were sinners. God knew that you needed to be saved. And if God knew we were sinners and God knew we needed to be saved, he done something about that when Jesus died at the cross. When I read through my devotion this morning, I remember where Jesus was crying and he cried out. And I could only imagine, Brother Tim, as I was reading there, sitting in the chair earlier this morning, where Jesus cried in the book of Matthew. He cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And that is to say what? Being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then the Bible said again, he spoke, and then he gave up the ghost. And I thought, even as I sat there in my chair today, What a great love of God, that Jesus' love is a sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love because we look at this and we see this in the Scripture, again, that God is love. It's an unchanging love. Let me bounce back and then I'll get back to this in a minute. Now, when we look at the unchanging love of God, we see this in the Scripture where, again, Jesus was talking to his disciples. If you look in the book of John, and I'll have to turn there myself, we look at this in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we know this Scripture. We know it well. But you look at this in John 13 and 34, and Jesus says there, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now, this is a New Testament principle that was based, again, on the Old Testament, where Jesus says that you're to love the Lord thy God with all your soul and with all your might, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Love is meant to be shared with others, and love is meant to be displayed as a character and the nature of the human being as well as the nature of God, because God's love dwells within us. Hello? And he says this in the Word, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Wow! Look at that. And that you also love one another. He reiterates that two or three times down through there. And then the next time is found in verse 35. And this is the unchanging love. Again, let me say this, that we often flinch. We often change our love one to another based upon situations and circumstances and environments and what somebody may or may not be able to do. I know for a person that I know Sherry knows, and a few other people know this person as well. The Bible says that we're to follow the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments is that we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our soul. We're not to have no other gods before us. And then we're supposed to love our neighbors. We're not supposed to envy our neighbors' things. This person that we know, I don't want to say she or he, but they're nobody associated with our church. They do this thing called tit for tat. Sherry knows who I'm talking about. And this person says, "If you do something to me, I'm going to do something and get you back." She calls it tit for tat. I've never heard that word too much. But aren't you glad that the Christian church don't operate like that? Right. I know. Years ago, Brother Bob, when I was a little fella and we was playing baseball, there's a little boy had a T-shirt on one time. His name was Billy. I know his last name. I'm not going to mention it. He had this T-shirt on, and his T-shirt said, it didn't say, "Do unto others as you would have others do unto you." It said, "Do unto others and then split." And it showed a little boy running. So, you know, sometimes the attitude of the world today is me, mine, and more. I want to look out for me, I want to look out for mine, and I want more for me. But in all reality, Jesus is teaching this, talking about the unchanging love of God. He mentions it three times in these two little verses of Scripture. And in this, he says again, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Just keep looking forward for a minute, okay? That you love one another. Now, He says, as I have loved you. Again, that's the unconditional, unchanging love of God. He says that you, and again he says this in the latter part of verse 34. Two times in verse 34 he mentions this, that you also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this, it's going to be an open display. It's going to be an open manifestation. It's going to be a billboard that's on the side of the road. I guess I can say it that way. By this shall all men know that you belong to me, that you're my disciple, that you're following in the word of God, that you're following in the commandments. He says, if you have love one to another. Oh, my friend, if we could get a hold of this at large in the church, in our families, what would it be even in our families today? And then, again, we go back to this text in 1 John chapter 4, again, where Jesus when John was writing this, he was actually reiterating this. He said, beloved, let us love one another. Again, the same words that Jesus said, John is saying. I wonder where John learned that at. I think he learned it from Jesus. And he says that you love one another, and he says, for love is of God. This is back in verse 7. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, for he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now look in verse number 9. I love verse number 9. Because when you look at this, it says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. Again, we're looking at that. Because he says there that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I'm not going to take the time to break all of that down, but again, that God sent his Son into the world that we might love, that we might live through him. Look in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. If I had time, I'm not going to take the time to do it. If you're writing notes, you can go back and you can write down John chapter number 10, and you can actually go through and read John chapter 10 and read that latter part. And it talks about that where Jesus laid down his life for the sheep, and that no man taketh his life, that he voluntarily lays his life down. You know, Jesus even told those disciples, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me. Love is a beautiful thing, but love is expensive. Love is very expensive. And love will cost you, and let me go out on a limb and say this, love will cost you everything. Because it's the operative of the Spirit and how that we're to live our lives. Again, this is what he begins to say here. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, the atonement, the covering. Again, in verse number 11. Think about the unchanging, unconditional love of God. Now, the next verse down says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, I'm going to read a scripture, then I'm going to bounce back again in just a second. If you go into 1 John 1 and 9, this is what the Bible says. And again, if I had time, I'd read more of it. I am going to go back to verse 7. Let me go back to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie, we do not the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Pretty good right there, ain't it? He said, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, this is where I wanted to go here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if God forgave us, we ought to also forgive one another. Not only out of obedience, because of the love of God. It's the love of the unchanging love of God that can be experienced Aren't you glad you can experience the love of God? It's not just something, it's not a fable, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a novel in a book that somebody wrote. But you can really experience the love of God. I mean, it is a tangible love, and you can know it in your heart that Jesus truly does love you. And you think, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. God knows. You don't know where I've been. God knows. And here's the thing. People say, well, have I went too far for the love of God? And the thing that I tell people, you're still breathing. I tell people, you still have hope. There's still hope for you. And anybody says, if there's any, like a twinge of hope on the inside of a person's heart, there's still hope. Why is this? Last thing, I'll let you out early. Unless you put that sign back up. Let me check phones. No, we're good. Not only is it unconditional love, it's unchanging love. And I love this last one because it's an upholding love. Hello? It's an upholding love. That upholdingness is about that is to support, to uphold, if you will. On your worst day, on the horrible days. How do I know that? Because in this text that I read to us, it actually teaches us this in this text. And I'm not going to take the time to go all the way through this, but I do want to go back into verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, because he picks this back up there, and he shows with us, or shares with us, that love is an upholding love. Anybody ever went through anything? Here's one of the things we deal with. People would say, well, if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. Now, let me talk about me. I can't talk about you. There have been times in my life, younger years, and Brother Hawks will know this. Anybody else that's ever pastored knows this. Pastor Dotson, Ron Dotson, he was in Asheville in the time I was in Waynesville. So we were about 35, 40 minutes apart. I wore that man out. I mean, you know, I wore him out. He was gracious. He would go buy me a hamburger, and I'd sit there and talk to him. Really, I was crying on his shoulder, whining, crying. And I would think back in the day, and Sherry can testify to this, and I even went a time or two and talked to the state overseer, and I'd never pastored Sherman. I didn't know nothing about pastoring. I didn't know people were people. I mean, I thought everything was to be perfect. I mean, you know. And I'd be going through a complicated spot. And Brother Dodge, you've done this as a pastor. I'd be going through a complicated spot. And, you know, most preachers, if they're going to quit, they're going to quit on Monday morning. We all know that. Or Sunday afternoon in some cases. But I don't know how many times I thought, you know, I can't do this. Right. And it was a difficult time. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. I won't go into it. It was so bad. Brother Dodd, it was so bad that I would have to go as a pastor and sit in the ladies' ministries, ladies' discipleship, or ladies' meeting just to keep peace in that meeting because they were so mean to my wife. I had to go sit in the meeting. It was that bad. And I would just cry, and I'd just bellow, and I'd just fret and just stay in a nervous wreck all the time. And I'd go, God, why? Well, it was my training, I guess I could say now looking back on it, because we know for all things work together for good that them that love God. You know, I had this pie in the sky image of what it was going to be like to pastor people. I didn't understand that difficult days was going to come. I didn't understand the difficulties of what it was going to be like to pastor a church. I had no clue. I'd done my intern program. I'd done 9 months in our intern. I worked with John Devine. Some of you know John Devine. And I worked with Brother Dotson. I got out of my intern program in May. I planted the church in July. I went from the frying pan to the fire in 2 months. And I've not looked back. Now, I said all that to say this. I know that all of these years from 1990 even to now, that he is a God that is an upholding God. He's held us up, not knowing what was going to be around the next day. But I've never, by the help and the grace of God, I have never doubted God's love. And that might be the new thing for the devil to jump on my back. They say, don't tell the devil nothing, because if you tell him, I'm not telling the devil nothing, I'm telling y'all. I'm telling y'all. And I said that to say this. You may be in that predicament tonight. You may have come into this room tonight and you might have felt like that nobody loves you. You might have felt like that the world hates you. They probably do, but Jesus loves you. You might have come into this room and tonight and you might have felt like you didn't have any hope, none whatsoever. But God's love is for you. I told that young lady Sunday morning, I said, you might have come in here by yourself. I said, but look around you. You got a whole lot of people here that love you, that cares about you. You don't have to do this by yourself. You can walk this walk with God helping you. So I said all that to say this. It's an upholding love. When you go back into this scripture, and he says, charity suffereth long. Aren't you glad that it's long suffering? That it don't give up on you that easy? Man, we give up on people easy. But love don't give up on people easy. Come on, somebody. He says here in the Word, he says, suffereth long. What is he describing? He said, and it is kind. Sometimes it's just good to be kind. Are we okay? It's just good to be kind. Charity envieth not. It's not jealous. It's not me against Sherman, and Sherman against Tim, and Tim against Chris, and Chris against Jody. That's our staff men, really, if you think about our men. We're in this thing together. We love each other. We're going to work daily working on this. We're not jealous of each other. And then he says, charity vaunteth not itself. It don't have to brag about what it does or who it is. It just does what it does. It's love. And then he says, it is not puffed up. It's not filled with ego and pride. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. And you know, and it says it doth not behave itself unseemly. It knows how to stay in order. And it says here in the Word, seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Verse 7 forward. It bears all things. It believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Verse 8. In closing. If you look at verse 8, it says, charity never faileth. Three things tonight. First of all, God's love is an unconditional love. Number 2 is an unchanging love. Number 3 is an upholding love. His love won't fail. He's waiting on us to come to him. Amen? God's love is a stable. It's not wishy-washy. It's a stable love. I want you to stand with me. I thought you'd get out a little early, maybe 7 minutes or so. But I want you, when we just think about this for just a moment, Jody had to leave, so we don't have nobody to play right now. Penny can't right now. But I want you to look into your own heart right now. And I want you to do 2 things. First of all, I want you to understand that God loves you unconditionally. And number 2 is, I believe that God wants us to reciprocate that love back to him. And to love him, because the Bible commands us to love the Lord thy God. Father, we love you tonight, and we are so thankful for this time that you've given us in these last few minutes of time. Help us, Heavenly Father God, to experience this thing called the love of God. Father, help our children. Help those, God, that, Lord, seemingly have never experienced the love of God. Lord, it seems like that it's something that's foreign from them. It's something that they've never, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They've never tasted for themselves the love of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would take us, the people of God, and Lord, we very well might be the only light in the darkness. And help us, Father God, to allow the Spirit of God to shine through us to a lost and a dying world. It might be somebody on the street corner. It might be somebody on our job. It might be somebody, God, that's just simply having a bad day. They may be a Christian, but they're having a bad day. And they just need one Christian to share the love of God with them. Lord, take our frailties, take our inadequacies, take all those things, God, from our lives that we would again, Lord, display the love of Jesus to a lost and to a dying world. Lord, we described what love is not. And Lord, help us to examine our own lives. That Lord, when we go out into the marketplace, when we leave the perimeter of this room, the perimeter of this building, that God, that somebody might see the light that shines through us. And Lord, it might change their life for eternity. And Father, we ask you this. In the name of him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And that is our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you walk away, before you leave, I want you to look at that person next to you and mean it with all your heart. I love you in Jesus' name. Shelba.